us, Lord. May your will be done. In the name of our Lord, our King, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people say, amen. 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 The message entitled today is called A Good Leader. And so what does it mean to be a good leader? Well, whether that means that you're a good husband or a good pastor or a good ministry leader or a good brother or a good brother-in-law, a good co-worker, a good boss at your job, whatever it means. Men, all of you are in leadership abilities. You're in a place of leadership, and you have leadership abilities in you. Now, I know this because with our school, I work with the junior high and the high school, but my wife works with the K-4 and the kindergartners. And the girls, those little girls in her class, they're so smart. They're so easy to get along with. They're not full of drama. They do not cry in the morning like, you know, I don't want to do this. They just go with the flow. They have that submissive heart within them. They're great students. But the boys are a totally different story. As little boys, they're already starting to learn that what it means to be territorial, what it means to be aggressive, what it means, all of that. Y'all know what I'm talking about, men. Amen? They have that already. It's already working. You know, my wife will say, okay, it's time to do this. And the girls are like, let's do it. And the boys are like, I don't want to do it. I want to color. I want to do this. You know, that's little boys. And I have to come in there and I have to really be firm with these boys because they will run all over you. And so, you know, we talk to them and they learn day by day, they start breaking down. And they start understanding that it cannot always be their way and what they want. And so you do that from the strength and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And over time, they begin to conform into these young men that the Bible and the Lord calls them to be. But when they come out of their mama's womb, they're screaming and crying, kicking and fussing, arguing and fighting, spitting. You know what I mean? Punching. That the boys are like that. And so as men, some of us, we don't learn to mature. Some of us, we mature, but then we can adopt that immature style all over again in an instant. We are grown men, and just like that, we can act like five-year-olds. Amen? Your wife will tell me, for those who are married, your wife will speak up and say, yes, that's you. But for those men who are single, this message is for you as well, because we are all called to be leaders. We're all called to, in some way or another, impact our community, impact our family, impact whatever it is that God has put before us. Now, I think I am well qualified to speak on this message because I know what it means to fail. I've experienced failure. I know what it means to fail as a father. I know what it means to fail as a husband. I know what it means to fail as a pastor. I know what it means to fail as a son of God, a son of God, not the son, a son. As a son of God, I know what it means to fail. But here's what the good news today. God works with failures. He cannot work with quitters. He cannot work with quitters because if you quit, it's over. What can God do? But he can work with failures. He works through your failures. He works through your weaknesses. He loves you. He loves you with a passion that you will never be able to understand. And so that is why you're here today, not just because you wanted food, but because somebody invited you, and because you love Jesus, and you know what's happening in the world today. You see what is happening in society, and you know deep in your heart that the Holy Spirit is telling you that it is time for men of God to rise up, to be who God has called us to be full of compassion, full of grace and mercy, but to be full of the Holy Spirit power. Now, I want to speak real quickly with you on what it means to be a good leader. Again, I know what it means to fail. I'm glad that my son is here today. He's here as much as he can. He's a police officer, and some weekends he's here and some weekends he's not. But I have the honor and the privilege now to be a grandfather. And as I look at my grandson, I see my son all over again. And so it brings you to not full circle in life, But Pastor Isaac, you probably, you know what I'm talking about with your grandchildren and the love that you have. You mean, some of us as fathers, when your sons are raised up, you always love your sons, but they grow up, they become men, and you know, you kind of not forget, but you kind of forget that feeling you had that when they were first born. And when your grandkids come, it takes you all back to that same place again. But you see, God always had that feeling from you from the very beginning to the very end. He always loves you. He looks at you as someone who is helpless, someone who cannot help themselves. He looks at you like that. We as fathers, we tend to forget as our children grow up and they become adults. We kind of forget that our kids still need us, or your nieces or nephews still need you, or that your younger brother or sister still needs you, whatever it may be. You don't, not necessarily just talking to fathers here, but society needs you, men of God. And though we grow up, and though we make mistakes, and though we can burn each other at times, we still need each other. And ultimately, we need the Lord. But I want to talk to you about what the Bible says. Look here at the screen. Number one, a good leader shows faithfulness and reverence. A good leader shows faithfulness and reverence. In Nehemiah 7:2, Nehemiah says, I gave the responsibility of governing Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the fortress, for he was a faithful man who feared God more than most. This was a challenge. This was a charge by God to the people of Israel to rebuild Jerusalem after it had been laid barren for well over 100 years, after King Nebuchadnezzar had ransacked the place. And now the call of God has been given to Israel to go back to rebuild Jerusalem. And they were delaying. They were busy doing their own thing. But God had his eye on not only Nehemiah the prophet, but on his brother. And God will place men, leaders, who show faithfulness and reverence to God. He will put them in strategic places in society to get the will of God done. And that is what Jerusalem needed, to be rebuilt. Jerusalem needed a leader who would show faithfulness and reverence to God. Now, we need that today. We need that today. Number two, a good leader has a servant's heart. A good leader has a servant's heart. In Matthew 20:26, it says, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Jesus, one of the last things that he taught his disciples was he washed their feet. And he said, you do not understand what I am doing now, but one day you will, and you will get it, and you know, will know what it means to be a blessing and to be blessed. A good leader has a servant's heart. A good leader is willing to do whatever needs to be done to make everything flow, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your ministry, whether it's at your job, wherever you go, whether it's at the stoplight, not arguing with the driver who's delaying going when the light turns green. You have a servant's heart. You know, you're not yelling at the window, hey, come on, let's go. You're not doing that. You know, you have a servant's heart. When you come into church and you see a piece of trash on the floor, you pick it up. You go into a restroom, whether it's at the restaurant or at your house, and you clean up, because a Christian always leaves a place nicer than when they first arrived. You have a servant's heart. Now, I'm not telling you go into Chili's and scrub the toilets. That's not what I'm telling you, okay? But what I am saying is, guys, come on. Make an impact. Have a servant's heart. Have a servant's heart. People, men, are not going to serve if they do not see you serving faithfully. You know, one thing about men, we see between the lines. We know when other fellas are not being faithful. We know when we're all playing games. But then you know when you see a man who's serious, who has a purpose from God and he's driven by God. You know those men too. And that needs to be you and I. And we need to, it needs to become contagious. The world has shown us that COVID can spread rapidly and cause destruction. And in learning that and seeing that, we need to understand, men of Jesus Christ, that the love of Christ needs to spread rapidly as well. Amen. It needs to infect others with righteousness and holiness and the salvation message, the repentance of sin. and understanding what it means to be filled daily with the Holy Spirit of God, to have a fresh fire in you. A fresh fire. Not to look for theatrics in the church, because some of you, y'all were raced through the church. You've seen all the shenanigans and the theatrics and the fake stuff in church. That's done with. As for you, that's done with. We don't need that. And we don't want that. God is looking for men like King David, whose hearts, though they've seen all the wickedness, though they've even failed God, but they're still searching for God. God is looking for that. And I believe that's you, man. I believe that's us today. God is looking for a leader who has a servant's heart. And Jesus tried to show them that consistently in serving and serving and serving. They came to him to hear the gospel, and Jesus said, let's feed these people first. Let's feed them first. They have a physical need. I know they have a spiritual need, but they also have a physical need. The Lord says, I can meet both. We, men of God, we can meet both in this world. With our ministry, we can bring the gospel, but not only that, with our money, with our time and talent, we can also meet the needs of people out there. Help the homeless. Do whatever it needs to be done to make an impact. Have a servant's heart. Amen. Number three, a good leader has a heart for prayer. A good leader has a heart for prayer, because a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. A prayerless leader is a powerless leader. Jesus told his disciples, only this kind comes out through much prayer and fasting. And today we are living in a society that is plagued with demonic possessed or oppressed people. And only men who have a life of prayer and fasting to Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is those men who are making an impact. They're good leaders. They have a heart for prayer. Look, Matthew 14, 23, it says this. After Jesus sent them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there all alone. He was tired, men, but yet he chose to pray all alone after he sent everybody off. After that great church service was over, he sent everybody off in the midnight hour, and he stayed up all night praying. When is the last time? Now, God's not impressed by this, but when is the last time you stayed up praying all night? We can be on social media, or we could, I know I've been guilty of that. Sometimes, I saw one time how much I was on the computer, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I spend that much time on the computer? When is the last time we pray all night? Because if Jesus had to do it, I think we might have to do that sometimes too. There comes times in your life where you're going through trials and tribulations where this will only come out through much prayer and fasting. My daughter Gracie, when she went to be with the Lord before she left, the doctor said, she's gonna die. And I put my Bible on her heart. And I said, Lord, this is your daughter and you have your will done. I'm going to pray that she lives. And just a few weeks later, the Lord took her home. And for just a brief moment, I said, Lord, I asked for her to live. And the Lord said, what better place than for her to be before me right now alive? This is the greatest place for a human being to be before my presence. And I said, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Thank you for hearing my prayer. The Lord hears your prayers when you're broken, when you have a contrite heart. He hears your prayers, man. And that's why the devil discourages you from praying. That's why we're not faithful sometimes in those prayer services that our churches hold, because the devil knows that is where we plug into the power, and that's where revival begins. If your church is having a prayer meeting, you need to be faithful and be there. Do not be distracted by the things of the world. Because those things will always be there. Prayer is only here for a season. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, work while it is day, for the night will come where no one can work. You men have no idea what that means. That is a prophetic word from the Lord Jesus Christ in regards to the end time. There is going to come a day where we will not be able to assemble like this. There is going to come a day when every Bible-believing Christian, not just in America, but on the face of this earth, will have to run for their lives, not because they fear man, but because they fear God, and they're trying to stay alive to continue the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. night is coming where no one can work. We have to have a heart for prayer so that when the day of evil does come, we are prepared. And it will only come through a life of prayer. Don't ever forget that. Amen. Number four, a good leader accepts responsibility for his actions. Say amen, men. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this scripture, 1 Chronicles 21:8. Then David said to God, I have sinned greatly by taking this census. Please forgive my guilt for doing this foolish thing. David counted the people when God said it's all good already. But David still counted the people. And because of that, God said, okay, you've got three choices for punishment. Choose one of them. Choose one of them. And David said, I will, but I'm sorry. Now, let me tell you something. And pastors, y'all know this. Those watching online, leaders in the ministry, you will mess up. And I'm saying you will mess up bad. Pastor, you remember when you first became a pastor? How long have you been a pastor now?
30 years.
30 years. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for your service. I remember when I first became a pastor, it was 15 years. And I got all dressed up and looked in the mirror, and I'm like, oh, man, them Garcias, we look good. And the Holy Spirit in my heart said, you look so sharp, but wait till I'm done with you. And that scared me. I did not know what it meant then, but I know what it means now. Men, I hope you never experience what it means to fail God as a Christian, because it's a very, very hard place to be. And I just want to encourage you that if any of you are struggling with anything, any kind of a something that Satan wants to hold you down on, you know what I'm talking about. The list can go on and on with whatever stronghold that could be. If you fail, get back up and learn from it and do not do it again. Be smart about this. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, let us cast off the weight that so easily entangles us. As a Christian, only we in all the world, only Christians have the ability to cast sin off of us because we have the Holy Spirit in us. God told Cain, look, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is to master you. And Cain gave in to that sin. It was at the door of life. And Cain gave into it and he killed his brother. But you see, if you do fail, you need to accept responsibility for your actions. This came to life one day, many years ago. I used to preach in the prisons. And I was talking to a young man, 18 years old, on trial for murder. And he came to me and he said, I haven't even told my lawyers this. He goes, but I did it. I did it. And it's killing me. And I said, My young brother, I said, the truth shall set you free. I'm not your lawyer, but I'm just telling you, speak the truth in everything and God will set you free. I came back a week later. He had this glowing look on his face and he goes, I did it. I'm like, what? He goes, I told my lawyers and they told the judge. I changed my plea to guilty. And I said, whatever y'all want to give me, I'll take it. I'm so sorry, but I did it. And he accepted it. I never know whatever happened of his fate, because I came into contact with so many of these guys. But the truth will set you free when you accept responsibility for your actions, not just for the good things. We like to accept responsibility for the good stuff we do. Amen? Amen? But what about the bad stuff we do? You know, King David wanted to cover it up, his sin. But God exposed it. So remember this, whatever you try to cover up, God will expose it. But whatever you're willing to expose in your life, God will give you grace and he'll cover you. He'll give you mercy. The king cried out after the prophet said, you're going to die. The king in the Old Testament looked at the wall and he says, God, remember the things I did for you, please, Lord. And the prophet came back in and said, 15 more years. Remember that? A good leader accepts responsibility for his actions. Number five, the words and actions of a good leader are consistent. We're consistent. We're faithful. In Daniel 6:10, it says, "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. With its window open towards Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God." When society says you cannot do this and you cannot do that, you do what the Holy Spirit has taught you. Jesus said, "I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will bring to remembrance everything that I've taught you." It's the Holy Spirit who makes the Word of God alive. And it's the Holy Spirit who reminds us how we are to conduct ourselves while on this earth. And then when you talk to the Holy Spirit through prayer, it may not be that audible voice, but it's that voice that you hear and that still small voice in your heart. When you hear, you are consistent. You are given marching orders every day. You know what God has called you to do. You're driven. You're determined. You don't care what men say. You care what God says. Amen. Amen. You care what God says. The words and actions of a good leader are consistent. Not just words, but even actions. People are so hungry in this world for Jesus. That's why we see so many people go into so many different faiths and religions, because they're so open, but yet they're never told the truth. Somebody will come in with this theology. Somebody will come in with this false theology and this false religion, and they buy it hook, line, and sinker, because sadly, so many Christian men in America are silent. They're not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that are headed to destruction. You know what is supposed to be the number one thing on your heart, Christian men? Is their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because you see, somebody was that concerned about you and saved you by preaching to you and what Jesus did on the cross. And we have to carry that on. Your Christianity, it's not about you. It's about Him. It's about spreading the message of repentance of sin for the forgiveness of sin through what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus, his words and his actions were consistent. Never was there hypocrisy found or contradiction. And men, we are called to be like Christ. That's why we're Christians. Daniel was vocal about his faith in God. And even in a pagan land, his actions back that up. We're in a pagan land, and the days are getting evil and more darker. Speak up, for God has given you a word to speak. Number six, a good leader shows courage based on the assurance of God's presence. Look in Joshua 1:9. God tells Joshua, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua was leading over 1 million people into the promised land. Amen? He was a leader. So apparently there was some discouragement. There was some fear in his heart. And God said, "I will be with you." So number six, again, a good leader shows courage based on the assurance of God's presence. God's with you, men. Everywhere you go, God is with you. So don't be afraid. Number seven, a good leader recognizes false teaching and boldly combats it. 1 John 4:1 says this, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world." And also in 2 John 1:10 through 11, "If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Anyone who encourages such people becomes a partaker in their evil work." And sadly, that's why a lot of churches don't fellowship with each other, because they're iffy. They don't know if you're really preaching the truth. As true men of God, we've been taught that through Scripture. We need to be careful. But God has a way of bringing them in together too. And I praise God for that. But we have to begin to combat what is false. You do this with love and compassion and hoping that those who are in error will repent of their sin, but not judge them and further drive them away from the truth. You hear what I'm saying? We combat false gospels, but in hope that they would repent of their sin and their error. Number eight, a good leader demonstrates maturity in action and knowledge of God's word. Amen. Hebrews 6:1. The writer says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. That's elementary, man. We need to go into the deeper things of the gospel of Christ. And so again, 8, a good leader demonstrates maturity in action and knowledge of God's word. And where you find a good leader in a church, where you find a good leader in a home, at a job, you'll find mature and well-equipped disciples. You will. They'll handle the truth. They'll handle responsibility. They'll have good morals. They'll have good judgment of character. They will honor God in all that they do. Men, let it first begin with you and your own personal home. Let it begin there first, because if it's not there, it cannot even be right into church either. Two more. 9, good leaders are not threatened by skilled subordinates. They gather skillful people around them. Amen? Look, in 1 Chronicles 12, 1-2, the following men joined David at Ziklag while he was hiding from Saul, son of Kish. They were among the warriors who fought beside David in battle. All of them were expert archers, and they could shoot arrows or sling stones with their left hand as well as their right hand. They were all relatives of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. These guys were from King Saul. You know, these guys were from King Saul's group, but yet they were with David. You hear that? David was on the run from King Saul. But yet, people from King Saul's family were with David. David could have said, no. You're a spy. But he didn't. He said, come on. We have to, as leaders, we have to recognize the call of God in people's life. As good leaders, we recognize and we know who are anointed, who are called. And it doesn't matter where you come from, your family lineage. None of that matters, because you see the call of God in their life. You see the expert skill that they have. And when God brings them to you, you know how to bring them together to get a purpose accomplished, a goal accomplished. Amen? As churches, we need to understand this, guys. Because as those who have a hatred towards God, as they're coming together, the men of God need to come together. A good leaders, they're not threatened by skilled subordinates or disciples. They gather skillful people around them. And my last one, good leaders have others hold them accountable. Proverbs 12:15, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Amen, Pastor. Tell him that. Amen. The three of us, we have them. I love these two men, because I know that they will tell me exactly what the Lord would want them to say. And you need men like that in your life, in your ministry. You need men like that who are not going to sugarcoat things. They're going to tell you exactly. They're not just yes men or no men. They tell you exactly the truth because they love you. And if you're lacking that in your life, ask God, and God will bring other godly men into your life. You need that. Iron sharpens iron. Look out for each other, men of God. Let it extend outside of your church. Let it extend, because God is bigger than our church, our churches. God is bigger than our ministries. He's greater than that. So we need to ask God, bring whatever you need in my life, and I'm going to trust you. Even though they may be from the tribe of Saul, hey, I see the call of God in their life, and we're going to work together, and I'm going to have myself open for correction. I'm going to have a teachable spirit. Even though I may be in a leadership position for so many years, I am going to have a teachable spirit, because at any moment, I can make a terrible mistake, and I need to be corrected. And King David knew that when the prophet Nathan came up to him and said, oh, David, you are that one. Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever come up to you and confronted you and says, you're that one? What did you say? No, not me. You got it wrong, buddy. I'm all good. Everything's fine. I'm okay. No, man. You must have had, that was not a dream from God. That was not a vision from God. God disciplines those he loves. Endure and welcome discipline. Welcome instruction. Open up. That is the number one thing men not only do not like to do, but seem almost impossible to do, is to open up. I want to talk about it. No, we're fine. Oh yeah, everything's fine, but your wife's about to leave you. You're about to lose your children. You're about to lose your job. You're about to lose your mind. You're about to lose your salvation. You're about to lose your faith. Oh, but everything's fine. You need to run to God. God loves those by his own people. He loves you by his hands and feet. That's you. And so be open to that. Again, a good leader, they have others hold them accountable. Amen? Amen. And that is what is missing in the churches. Good leaders. A brother in this church, a very successful man in ministry and in business, and he might be watching today. He came up to me and said, Pastor, I'm taking these kids to a church. And there's so many women there. There's only like 3 or 4 guys, something like that. He says, they need men in that church to lead. They need men. Now, and he's not being macho, male macho. That's not okay. But you know what the Bible does talk about. They need leadership. But so many men are missing. The women have no choice but to get up and to start leading. And that's not balanced. That's not well. That's not right. Look, women, a wife, if you have a wife, she's equal with you. And she's definitely smarter than you. I promise you that. Your wife is smarter than you. Your wife is braver than you. And your wife is tougher than you. I'm almost going to be married 29 years. I know what I'm talking about. Please, just to save yourself a lot of grief, understand that. He who finds a good wife finds a good thing. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Well, my wife's not good. That's the problem right there. Sorry, bud. You said I do. Make it work. That woman's still going to be smarter than you because she married you. Amen. Amen. She married you. I'm telling you what. Those who are married, remember that. Those who are not married, rejoice. Paul says, it's better to be as I am, single. I know you may not want to hear that. You may, oh, I need a woman. God knows what you need, when you need, and how you need it. He's probably trying to show you, teach you some lessons to learn to be dependent upon him. So don't rush out for things. God knows what you need. He knows everything. He wrote your life down before you were ever born. He knows. And so if you just live by faith, it will all fall into place. Don't worry about everything. Just rejoice right where you're at and praise his holy name. And everything will fall in place. Amen? I'm telling you from experience. I can go on and on, but I know the Astros are getting ready to play, and we got to get. Amen? Amen? Now, let's hear it up for Jesus. Let's hear it for Jesus. Amen? Come on. And let's hear it for the Astros. Amen? Come on, guys. Hey, you know what? You know what? Amen. Okay. You can escort this man to the door. You can escort this man to the door. It was all fine when we were with Jesus. Amen. Guys, some people are watching on like, well, what's going on? We're just being men. Amen. No, but it is an honor and a privilege to speak to you from the churches of Jesus Christ today. I thank God for all of you. Help your pastors. They need your help. Come alongside them. Pray with them. endure with them, walk with them, because guys, you do not know the cost that they have to pay. Those online, you do not know the cost that your pastors have to pay. I'm not putting them on a pedestal because I'm a pastor, but strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Guys, there's a lot of persecution that pastors are going through right now. You have no idea. You have no idea. So come alongside them, come alongside your leaders, and rise up and be a good leader. Amen? Because if he can trust you with a little thing, then he can trust you with a great thing. You're just getting started. Give God praise in this house. Amen. And before we close, I just want to close in prayer. Now, you know, some churches have altar calls, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we have had altar calls in this place many times. But there are times where the Lord says, they have the word, close it here. That's what he's telling me to do right now. So the word's been spoken. Peter, when he preached the gospel, it says their hearts were pierced. So when Stephen preached the gospel, the Bible said that they gnashed their teeth and killed him. So when the gospel is being preached, either you're going to gnash your teeth against God, or your heart's going to be pierced and you're going to repent.